The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, nerds? You know what the problem with this time of year is? I don't get any sleep. Everything, every event is always over after 1 o'clock. I'm all amped up. I got to get up early the next morning. And it doesn't stop. It's on the weekends, too. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. What a weekend. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I know, Steve Harvey's all over Instagram talking about, you can't sleep 8 hours a day. I'm so against this whole thing about how there's something wrong with you if you sleep. Boy, I'm going to debate Steve Harvey on that segment. All this pressure not to sleep. I like to sleep, damn it. What a weekend. But not for sleep. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. The Clippers, ladies and gentlemen. So much, I don't even know if this is the lead, but to hell with it, I'm going to lead with it. The Clippers are one step closer to history. That's right. To that first ever second round championship. They've never won it. They've never won a second round championship. They've yet to hang a second round banner up at Staples next to the Los Angeles Lakers' 17 championship banners. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Horn sounds. The Clippers survive and advance.
The Clippers could easily win the whole thing. They're that good.
And the Clippers are on to Utah, taking out Dallas for the second straight year.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's one of the most clutch players ever, like any sport. And by the way, he's messed up in the clutch. Airballed a game, what was it, 6-5-3. Clippers wound up losing the game, looked like they would lose the series. You know, had a terrible game, miserable game against Denver when they got eliminated from the playoffs last year. But Kawhi is also a two-time final MVP. Two-time. With two different franchises, in two different roles, finals MVP. And if there was a playoff MVP, like a postseason MVP, he'd have won a couple of those too. Kawhi in these playoffs just shot, and Luka Doncic went bananas. Luka went bananas. But Kawhi Leonard, my lord, 50, 40, 90, right? 50% from the field, 40 from three, 90 from the line. Kawhi just did 60, 40, 90 in a seven-game series. And by the way, here are the players in history. History! With 200 points in a playoff series, meaning it probably went seven games. Who shot 60% from the field? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Bernard King, before he got hurt, who was a scoring machine. Shaquille O'Neal. And now Kawhi Leonard. That's it. History of the game. Kawhi is so efficient and still a great defender. And he needed some hero stuff to come through, and he did it. And by the way, Paul George, was he good enough in these playoffs so far to think he can be the second banana on a championship team? Yes, he has been. Yes, he has been. Yes, he has been. Listen, the Utah Jazz can shoot the lights out. The Phoenix Suns have a superstar backcourt, and DeAndre Ayton's coming along fast, and they got the right pieces around them, 3-and-D forwards. The Denver Nuggets, if they had Jamal Murray, I think it'd be a wrap in the Western Conference. I think Denver would come out, but they still have a lot of depth at guard, and Porter Jr. shooting the lights out. They got, Austin Rivers, playoff Rivers. But the Clippers, if you had to make a favorite right now, probably Utah, right? Because Donovan Mitchell is back. I don't know. Conley's hamstring means that when it comes down to it, they got one guy who can go get it for you. The Clippers got two when it matters most. I'm not even counting Rondo, because there is a playoff Rondo. Is this the year they make it to their first ever Western Conference Finals? And how do they match up with the Jazz? Listen to Kawhi after the Clippers eliminate Luka and the Mavs.
Just because you play great in whatever 9 game 7s doesn't mean you're going to play great in game 10 and, vice versa. It's all about the moment. Sometimes when you're overconfident, you play bad. sometimes when you're down on yourself, you play good. But like I said, for me, it's about focusing in that moment, having fun, and, you know, playing hard. That's it. It's a game of basketball.
And as great as Kawhi was, and he's a two-way player, Luka's a one-way player, Kawhi's greatness, you know, like Luka's great at creating shots, like in difficult situations. Someone like Kobe Bryant or Kyrie Irving, they're great at hitting really tough shots. You know what Kawhi does? He creates easy shots. He only takes high percentage shots for the most part. But Luka, I got to say something about Luka. And by the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
And Harden is on his way to the Brooklyn locker room. I wonder if he hurt himself.
You know, wishes him a speedy recovery.
Heartbroken for him that he had to miss tonight. I mean, this guy was so ready and excited to play tonight.
I'm going to get back to Luka, but, you know, his play reminds me of someone, and that's the guy you just heard about. James Harden's out for game two against the Bucks with hamstring tightness. And look, the Bucks had to miss a lot of wide-open shots for the Nets to beat them when they didn't have James Harden. That wasn't just KD and Kyrie coming through. That was also the Bucks missing a lot of shots. But you know what? With James Harden, that's a super-duper team. And James Harden, with D'Antoni on the bench under Steve Nash, is really running a D'Antoni offense with KD Warriors-level talent. That's unbeatable. You're not going to beat that. No one's going to beat that. Remember how close the Rockets came playing that brand of basketball with Harden running the point with very little talent on the team compared to the Warriors, the KD Warriors. Still got down to a game seven. Rockets could have possibly won that series had it not been for Chris Paul's injury. But now imagine that Warriors team with KD, Clay, everybody, Steph, and Iggy and Trey playing with the efficiency of Houston. You can't beat that. That's the Nets. But once you take Harden off of that, Kyrie is not the pick-and-roll point guard like James Harden. He's not going to run D'Antoni's offense like James Harden. Now, he is so spectacularly talented and skilled, and obviously KD is KD, and Joe Harris can shoot, and they have a lot of interesting pieces. They've got like Claxton, and they have guys who can play, that maybe they can compete, maybe even beat the Bucks in a seven-game series, but I'd be worried. However, the most kind of under-the-radar storyline in this game, or this series so far through one game, is Blake Griffin. If Blake can continue to play like this, then they're not a super-duper team like when Harden's there. And remember, Harden's hamstring, he missed over 20 games with this in the regular season. 20. And when AD tried to come back from the groin, which is the same thing as a hamstring, basically, you know, like, oh my God, really, he can't move. This is nothing you can rush. And if you try to rush it, it's just going to get worse. Harden might miss this series, y'all. Like, he really might not be here for this series. If Harden plays as Harden, the Bucks don't have a chance. I don't care what Andre Snelling says. We got to get Dre on. Is Dre going to be on the show? Yeah, he'll be on the show later this week, I'm sure. Dr. Dre of ESPN fame. Andre Snelling's analytics. But it wouldn't matter. I don't care what anyone says. They ain't going to beat the Nets. But without Harden, they're going to need Blake to be the third cog in a big three. They're going to need it because they don't have the team defense nor the capability to play the team defense that the Bucks do. They don't have the cohesion that the Bucks do. And once you take Harden off, Giannis and KD, oh, I think KD's better. Okay, fine, whatever. But they basically cancel, like, in terms of the weight of each player. And now Kyrie. The Bucks don't exactly have a Kyrie, but they have Jrue Holiday, who plays good defense on smaller guards. I don't like him on Harden, but on Kyrie, you can't really ask for more. And Middleton. Now, it's not really a big three in the sense that there's one Hall of Famer in Giannis, and two sometimes maybe in their best year all-stars in Middleton and Jrue Holiday, neither of whom's going to the Hall of Fame. But Middleton's sometimes an all-star, and Jrue Holiday, again, on a smaller guard, can be very effective. So they're going to need, and given the cohesion and given the shooters, they're going to need Blake to play up like he did last. By the way, he owes Detroit money. It looked like Blake was washed when the Nets were going to get him. I'm like, for what? He can't shoot. He can't defend. He can't jump anymore. What's Blake going to do? Oh, I'm sorry. Take Blake Griffin off the Nets last night. I think they probably lose. But if Blake is playing at this level, yeah. He's the when you say big three, it means there are three guys who are well above average starters. You know, like that's the kind of loosest definition of the term. Was Blake an above average power forward last night? Yeah, way above average. So then you have two Hall of Famers and an above average starter at his position. Even without Harden, the Nets have a shot to beat the Bucks. If Harden somehow, if it's not that bad and he comes back, the Bucks are they're done. Meantime, this is what Steve Nash had to say about what the MRI on Harden's hamstring showed.
To be honest with you, tightness, and most importantly, is he's out for the next game. So we're preparing for tomorrow night as we ended up playing last night, and that's our focus. You know, for James, you know, we obviously are desperate for him to return, and he's a huge piece of what we do in our team. But at this point, I think it would be all guesswork to really understand. You know, he's had such a little, you know, up and down recent history with it that it's really hard to predict. And so let's hope for the best, but we can't really say anything too predictive, too definitive right now.
This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Playing on a torn meniscus is not easy. The pain is going to be there. That's normal. My goal is to win the championship. I'm going to put my body on the line to make sure that happens.
Trae Young has always been a problem for the Sixers.
Trae Young finished with 35 points on 27 true shot attempts and 34% usage. All of his baskets were self-created. 10 assists, 5 at the rim, 4 behind the arc, led to another 24 points. Now, the Luka-Trae Young trade, and we knew Trae Young could be an all-star, but Luka looked like an MVP, and he's only 22. And what I was going to tell you earlier about Luka is, can you prove that he's not the best player in basketball right now? I mean, I wouldn't say he's number one, but if LeBron is hurt and doesn't have the playoffs to prove it, if KD can't play defense because he is limited physically and he hasn't been available for parts of this year, he has to stay available for the playoffs. If Giannis can't shoot and Simmons, same thing, like, and therefore their teams can't advance deep into the playoffs. If Embiid can't stay healthy, and that's the reason he's not going to win MVP, are you sure that Doncic isn't the best player in the league? Like, the way I see it now is there are 7 days in a week and probably about that many players who take turns being the best player in the league, and Luka's one of them. Kawhi played defense on him in Game 7, scored very efficiently as always, and his team won. But Luka really didn't have Porzingis helping. Partly that's game plan, partly that's Porzingis every year gets hurt, and then he has to work his way back to where he used to be. Therefore, he can't really progress. And because Luka, you know, monopolizes the ball, Porzingis becomes a role player. And because he's not in rhythm and doesn't really and by that I mean like he's out of the lineup with injury and stuff, he's not what he might otherwise be. Luka still put up absurd numbers all series and took a team 7 games where, given the Mavericks roster and the way their season went, really they had no business going 7 games. Anyway, Doncic is all that. He's 22 years old. And the trade for Trae Young looked lopsided. Like, Trae Young all-star, but Luka MVP. No, that's a lopsided. It doesn't look lopsided anymore. Sure, the Mavericks still won it, even with the extra first-round pick. I'd still say, give me Luka. But you can't call it a lopsided trade anymore. Trae's spectacular, and he doesn't get worse under pressure. He gets better. Remember, I was talking about Steph Curry. Defenses start to key in on him, to key on him in the playoffs, and the higher the stakes, I've noticed it throughout his career, Steph plays a little worse. Not so with Trae Young, not so far, much smaller sample size. But is Simmons a Trae Young stopper? Ben Simmons a Trae Young stopper? He said, Ben Simmons, quote, I'd probably do that. I mean, I want to. If the refs aren't going to call so many fouls and I can be physical and be 6'10", then I'll be 6'10", but we'll see. The rest might say you can only be 6'6". Then who knows? But what happened, the story to me was not Trae Young last night. Look, this is what happened in the Sixers game. Sixers-Hawks. Doc Rivers, all year, has been doing this thing where, you know, great coach and everything, but part of what makes him great, right, is belief in what he's doing, stubbornness. And it can also be your Achilles heel. Doc Rivers, all year, he's playing his second unit, exclusively bench players, to end the first and begin the second quarter. And that hasn't worked out so great. And people, you know, you figure in the playoffs, you're not going to do that, right? You're going to shorten your rotation. What happened game one? He starts by putting Danny Green, who's not good enough to guard a quick guard like Trae Young. He's a good defender on ball, but not for a little point guard like Trae Young who can shoot and score. He put him on Trae Young, so the Hawks jumped out to a lead. And then he did this thing with the bench. And by the time the bench was out of there, the Sixers were buried. And then eventually, Thibault and Simmons defended Trae Young, which was Doc Rivers' plan late, right? And the Sixers could have won. The maddening thing about it is Embiid on a torn meniscus had this monster game, and it was wasted. I don't think given Embiid's knee, you can expect him to carry that kind of offensive load every game. And Doc just wasted it. So is Doc going to shorten the rotation? Even if the idol don't play Simmons on Trae Young too early in the game, he'll get in foul trouble. Okay, fine. But is Doc going to shorten the rotation at least? To me, so far this series, it's not about Trae Young. It's not about Ben Simmons. It's not about Joel Embiid. It's about Doc Rivers. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Here's Embiid. He was asked, is he still confident, torn meniscus, playing on it, he gave him 39 last night, that he can still be the go-to guy on this team?
Like I said, playing on a torn meniscus is not easy. All I got to do is keep managing it, do my best, get as much treatment as I can, try to manage it to make sure that it doesn't swell up too much. Obviously, the pain is going to be there. That's normal. But it's all about, managing it and, doing whatever it takes to win. Because, my goal is to win the championship. And, I'm going to put my body on the line to make sure that happens. I'm going to give everything I got.
So you want to call in and talk about the weekend action, playoff action in the NBA. Go ahead. Julio Jones traded to the Titans. You know what's funny about stuff like that? I was kind of making the argument of Tannehill's underrated. Then a trade like Julio Jones happens. And Julio Jones is a guy to me who you're going to find out about a quarterback. Like, you trade for him if you want to find out about your quarterback. That's why I and many were thinking, what if he goes to the Ravens? You find out about Lamar Jackson, right? Whatever scheme you're using, whatever. You got Julio. You're going to find out about your guy. So the Titans get Julio Jones. And do you like the Titans now? They have A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and then obviously Derrick Henry running the ball. I don't. And the reason I still don't like him is because, as it turns out, just like you can't really control who you root for, just kind of happens sometimes. You're like, really? I'm rooting for it. Like, I don't mean when it's your team. I mean with two neutral teams you don't care about. You find yourself with a rooting interest, and it can surprise you. I didn't know I was rooting for that team. I guess I am. I didn't know really the way I felt about Ryan Tannehill until this trade went down, and I think it's not quite enough. I think Tannehill's not quite enough. By the way, I look at the Browns still as the number one threat to the Chiefs. Number one offensive line, pass protection and run blocking. Number one in both. One in both. Returning all the defenders plus picking up Jadeveon Clowney. And Odell's coming back, which is easily like getting Julio Jones. They don't have Derrick Henry. They have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But I still like, and Baker and Tannehill, it's interesting. You'd rather Tannehill kind of more steady, but Baker maybe with a little more upside? I don't know. It told me what I needed to know about Tannehill, which is at this moment, I actually don't believe in him as much as I was saying, he's underrated. Falcons, by the way, get a 2022 second rounder and a 2023 fourth rounder. The Titans gets Julio Jones and a sixth rounder in 2023. Titans take on Jones' salary, $15.3 million in 2021, and the rest of the deal. Falcons now have $7.75 million in dead money this year. Here's Jeff Darlington, the ESPN NFL reporter, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on the Titans' move for Julio Jones.
This is a team that I think added Julio not merely as a luxury piece. Like, I think they actually added him as a necessity because they did lose Corey Davis, who did have nearly 1,000 yards last season. So it's not like they could just go into this year and expect AJ and Derek to just carry the team to a Super Bowl.
I got some thoughts on Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul. I'm going to give you coming up. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. I know. You want to know what to think about Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather. You're not even sure what you think about it. Don't worry. That's what this show is for. I'll tell you what to think about the whole thing. Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them, and apparently they're so legit. Employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you. All right, coming up, I will give you my precious thoughts on Floyd versus Logan Paul. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Got to give you my thoughts on the event of the weekend. Floyd versus Logan Paul. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So, here's my question. Were you not entertained? A lot of people weren't. Don't buy the next one. That's all. No one's making you buy it. A lot of people were entertained, and they'll buy the next one. Beyond that, though, here's the thing. Matchups, I don't know if there's a science to it or not, but there's an art to it. Sometimes you hear a matchup and you're like, there's something about that. When it ding, ding, round one, I got to have my eyeballs on it. And it needs to be live. I need to see it as it's happening. And whatever they did, Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul was one of those things. It's like, wait, when it's happening, I need to know what's happening. I need to know what's going on. Because Floyd is one of the greatest pure boxers of all time. And he's 44 years old, and he hasn't fought in a long time, and he didn't seem to be taking it very seriously, this exhibition. And Logan Paul has a lot of energy, and he's much, much bigger than Floyd, and he loves boxing, and he puts his all into it. And what it was, but, you know, like, does anyone think Logan Paul's going to beat Floyd Mayweather in a boxing ring? Are you serious? No, of course not. It's a chance to see one of the greatest practitioners of the sweet science ever practice it a little more. You know, in a safe environment, an exhibition fight. And you got to see it with very little at stake for Floyd. And, you know, oh, it's high stakes for Floyd, only if he lost and he had no chance of losing. And Logan Paul went the distance. Good for him. Now, did Floyd carry him? He didn't press for the knockout. But let me say something about Logan Paul and his brother Jake. They love boxing. They have a passion for it. There's other ways for these guys to make money. They choose boxing, which is a tough road. So you have to really love it, which they do. They respect the sport. They never disrespect it by training as hard as they can, absorbing as much as they can, you know, learning it, fighting as hard as they can and as well as they can, and then moving on to the next. And by the way, doing a great job promoting the sport and having people put their eyeballs on it. I don't know. I'm not mad at the Paul brothers for that. I'm not going to be mad at Floyd for making $50 to $100 million for an exhibition. Now, that's what it was, an exhibition. It was an exhibition. Floyd was exhibiting his boxing skills against a novice boxer who's much bigger than him. And Logan was exhibiting his toughness and his ability to learn quickly and to share a ring with Floyd Mayweather in his second quasi-professional fight. It was an exhibition. Would you rather have an exhibition like Drago and Apollo Creed? Because there's an exhibition. Well, Floyd didn't knock him out. Do you want to see someone like get sent to the hospital in this exhibition? Is that the point? I had a good undercard. Arias Hurd was a real good fight. Arias scored the upset. You got to see Ocho Cinco get knocked down. Actually boxed pretty well until then. And then you saw Floyd, you know, Logan Paul have two good rounds early, throwing a lot of punches, good for him. And Floyd then put on a little boxing exhibition. And then it became about Logan. Listen, and also Floyd knows, when you're an inexperienced fighter, no matter what kind of dog shape you can be in, the tension of the event where you can't relax will tire you out. Floyd knew this about Conor McGregor. He knew it certainly about Logan Paul. And Logan Paul was bone tired by the middle. But he made the distance. Good for him. Again, if you weren't entertained, don't buy the next one. I was entertained. Like, if another black eye for boxing. Shut up. What? It's not a professional fight. It's an exhibition. It's entertainment. That's all. You got to see Floyd Mayweather. It's not going to go on forever where Floyd it can box effectively, right? But right now, he can still put on an exhibition. You get to, oh, there's Floyd Mayweather doing his thing. I like watching that. That dude once upon a time boxed as well as anyone who ever lived. And I get to still see it. Yeah. And by the way, Jake Paul coming up. He's going to fight Tyron Woodley. It's intriguing. Jake Paul needs a big name to make an event with because he's not going to fight a nobody. Right? He'd make millions. He's a big draw. But you can't fight a famous fighter, a famous boxer, beat him up because Jake Paul just started and he has no amateur background. So you find first another YouTuber. You beat him. Then you get an athlete like Nate Robinson. You beat him. You knock him out. Then you get a former fighter. Right? Askren, except he's not a striker. So you knock him out. Now you get a guy who doesn't exactly come from a striking background. He has a wrestling background, Woodley. But he can strike. We know he can strike. We've seen that. And he's lost his last four fights. He's past his prime. And if Jake can beat him, next you find a guy who actually does have a striking background. He comes from some kind of striking. Or he has a mixed background, like martial arts, whatever, wrestling, but he's a striker who's not so past his prime. And little by little, with each step, if you succeed, you go on to the next step. That's how you build a fighter anyway. The difference is most fighters don't start out as famous as Jake Paul or Logan Paul. Now my hat's off to those kids, young men. And Floyd is just having fun. So what happened in that soccer match, game, pitch? Is it a soccer pitch, Raj? What do they call it with soccer?
Come on, have some
Paul in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I have to call because, look, man, I've listened to you for over a decade, right?
Yes.
Look, your NFL game, strong, baby. Your NBA game, real strong.
Yeah.
Boxing, best in the world.
Yes.
Undisputed champ of commentary boxing, best in the world, right?
But there it is.
I know your soccer game is lacking, and that's why we need to make an arrangement, Max. You need me to call in on the Goodyear hotline as a guest on the show because I need to be your liaison.
Okay, well, let's see.
You're ready to talk about soccer.
Go ahead, liaise. Let's see what you got.
All right, so last night, while many of you were wasting your time with the Floyd Mayweather fight and all that stuff, and don't get me wrong, it's entertaining. I'll give you that.
Yeah, apparently a soccer game had a scandal in it, right? That's soccer game somewhere that was so boring that the fans didn't know what to do, so they started causing trouble again. Is that what you're about to tell me? Go ahead. Tell me what happened.
Absolutely not. Okay. What happened yesterday was the beginning of a new era, and the amount of storylines that you guys are slipping on, from debris being thrown at our players, from Christian Pulisic at 23 years old being one of the greatest young athletes currently in the United States, winning the Premier League championship, right, being the first American to be an active player to do that, and then in the same week basically pushes the team forward to beat our biggest rival, Mexico, in a thrilling game where we were down 1-0, tied it up 1-1, 2-1, tied it up 2-2, made a deserved penalty kick to make it 3-2, and then Mexico got a penalty kick as well, so not even Mexican fans can dispute the victory yesterday. Well, and yes, there were some controversies, but
Paul,
that wasn't
California,
the story at all.
I admire your passion, but all I can say is I feel like Will Ferrell in Anchorman, it was the first Anchorman, when he's talking to the bartender, and the dude's speaking to him in English and everything, but because he's so self-involved, he's like, I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish, because the dude is Mexican, right? Mexican-American. I don't know. You're speaking a foreign language to me. There's something going on in a league with Mexico, and it was a penalty kick, and I don't know. It's like people live in a parallel universe where apparently this is important to them. I don't begrudge them that. But I just point out a lot of hooliganism in soccer. I think it's because they're waiting for something to happen. The fans are getting bored. They're getting restless. Actually, there's a very good book, How Soccer Explains the World. And there's a good response to the book by our own Sal Palantonio, How Football Explains America. And the book How Football Explains America explains why I'm not into soccer. But I am into football, not football. All right, Raj, that's as much soccer as we're ever going to talk on this show.
This is good. This is a record. We've never talked this much soccer.
What a pitch they had, right? Isn't that what you say?
Yeah.
They had such a soccer pitch the other day, no?
Pulisic did not win the Premier League championship. He won the Champions League of all of Europe. So, Chelsea is champions
of sounds like a rap battle in Europe. Prolific didn't – what? What'd you say? I don't understand what you said.
I was just correcting the caller. But,
the Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men. Call 1-866-DADS-LAW. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning, good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN. Look, I'm going to take calls, but no more soccer calls right now. If you want me to talk about soccer, talk about Raj when you're on hold. See if Raj will talk to you. Maybe Brendan, do you like soccer?
Not as much as Raj, that's for sure.
Yeah, me neither. I don't like soccer as much as Raj either. I don't even like soccer as much as I like Raj.
Same.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good. I already
did that.
Why are you putting it up there again, Raj? All right, game six. What? Raj keeps, this is what Raj does. He keeps putting teasers in front of me that I've already read. All right, coming up, I'm going to talk about sports. Max Keller and Joe, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show and the NBA playoffs, both, what's more important, are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 2 as the Nets host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Don't let the Nets go up 2-0 without James Harden. And Brooklyn will be tough to beat. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Speaking of that series, can Blake Griffin be the Nets' third star in Harden's absence? He was last night. Matt in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, hi, Max. How you doing? So, I don't know about you, but I watched the most egregious blown call of my life yesterday with that backcourt, missed backcourt call on the Mavs-Clippers game. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
Bye.
There were some blown calls, but I if you start off the show, and it's my fault for not prepping the callers because obviously that's too much for Raj and Brendan to do. If you start out the show saying, hey, what's up? I you got to get dropped. I have to start instilling some discipline here in the ranks because it's not a social call and you're wasting time. You could just say, you could just give me your opinion right away. Now, that wasn't an egregious example, right? Because he got to it. But I think just on principle, what was that, Matt in Michigan? Oh, we got a couple of regulars waiting. Andre in Massachusetts. See, Andre and Richard know the deal. This is why they're regulars. One of the reasons. Andre in Massachusetts. Go ahead, Andre.
Max, the situation right now for the Philadelphia 76ers is serious. I'm going to tell you why. Listen, this is a team that hung their hat on defense this year. I believe it was number one overall rating. How do you give up 42 points to the Atlanta Hawks in the first half? How do you let Trae Young get off? This Hawks team is serious. They have potent scores. And in conclusion, Max, we are forgetting the leadership that they have on the bench with Nate McMillan. Mm-hmm. Sixers, I am pulling for you. This should be your year, but if you don't get it together, the Hawks are going to bounce
well,
you.
Well, but hold on, Dre. Andre, this is what I mean. There's an explanation. How did they give up all those points in the first half? Doc put Danny Green on Trae Young. That's not going to work. And Trae Young showed that. And then Doc did the thing he's been doing all year. End of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, he plays an all-bench unit, and they're not good. You can't do it. Not in the playoffs. The playoffs is where you limit the rotation. You get your eight best guys, nine best guys maybe, eight best guys. It's going 11 deep in the playoffs. And there's some unplayable guys right now. Like, Shake Milton, you're going to play him right now? And now, look, Thybulle is a great defender. He's already a great defender. But I think Doc is going to have to make some decisions. And maybe not be so intractable about his rotations or about his lineups and like his kind of his rigid kind of strategy. And I would say that I get why you don't put Simmons on Trae Young to start the game because you don't want him in foul trouble. I get that, but you can't do Danny Green. It's just like Danny Green can defend on ball, but it can't be a quick little dude like Trae Young who can shoot from the outside and get to the paint. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, Julio Jones and Trae Young have been in the news today, correct? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I like where you're going with this.
It got me thinking, Max, which you always make me do.
Yes, yes.
The city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Falcons came into the NFL in 1966.
Richard can never bring up a fact
before 1970. The Atlanta Hawks came from the St. Louis Hawks in 65.
Okay, yeah.
The Atlanta Braves came from the Milwaukee Braves in 66.
All right.
That's approximately 180 years. Mm-hmm. Amongst those three sports teams. Right. Throw in the Atlanta Thrashers and the Atlanta Flames, another 30 years. Right. That's approximately 200 years of major sports years that the city of Atlanta has had. Max, do you know how many championships out of those 200 sports years?
The Braves have one. The Braves got one.
Braves got one. Yep. That's it. Who else?
You're right. You're right.
Just the Braves, Max.
Yep.
One championship, and two, and yet you never hear anything about the city of Atlanta being a bad sports town.
Well,
but there
is
something.
Because they support, like, not that actually they didn't. That's funny, because the one team they really didn't support when they were good were the Braves. Usually they'll come out and support their good teams, not the Braves, who were great for a long time, just couldn't get over the hump. It is interesting. Richard, as usual, has an interesting point to make. None of his points ever involve any fact after 1970. But he does have interesting points to make. Right, Raj? Like, you know, like, who else is going to come up with that angle? Like, today's like, you know, the Atlanta Hawks and Julio Jones got me thinking about Atlanta, and then he pulls out 200 years of sports franchise seasons and only one championship from the Braves. And by the way, wasn't the Braves, was that 94? No, 95? Was that, like, 95 was at, 94 was a strike-shortened season, no World Series. But 95 was also a shortened year because of 94. Like, it was not exactly a regular year. And that's the year, although it was the last year before the wild card. And they did win a World Series. That was a big underachieving Atlanta squad. They couldn't win in the World Series. I don't know, you know, because Maddox, by the way, Maddox played down. He wasn't his normal great self in the playoffs. Smoltz was great, though, always great. Clippers about to make history, Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.